Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY25 earnings conference call of KEI Industries, hosted by Monarch Networth Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Dani from Monarch Networth Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Joshua. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, we'd like to host the senior management of KEI Industries. We have with us Mr. Anil Gupta, Chairman and Managing Director of the company, and Mr. Rajeev Gupta, CFO of the company. We will start the call with opening remarks from the management and then move to Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, so good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much. I'm Anil Gupta, Chairman and Managing Director, KEI Industries Limited. I welcome all of you on this conference call. I'll give a brief summary of this quarter and first half. Net sales in Q2 in financial year 2024-25 is ₹2,279.64 crore against ₹1,945 crore last year. The growth in net sales is 17.21%. EBITDA is ₹237.52 crore with a margin of 10.42% EBITDA/net sales margin, as against 10.88% in the same period previous year. Profit after tax in this quarter is ₹154.81 crore against ₹140.2 crore last year. So growth in the PAT is 10.42%. Profit after tax/net sales margin is 6.79% versus 7.21% in the previous year. Domestic institutional cable sale, wire and cable, is 615 crore against 511 crore with a growth of 20%. Domestic institutional cable sale, extra high-voltage cable, is 73 crore against 169 crore in the previous year. Capacity of extra high-voltage cable has been used for medium-voltage and high-voltage power cables. So export sales in this quarter is 241 crore against 249 crore last year. The total institutional cable sale contribution is 39% against 44% in the previous year, same period. Sales through dealer network, dealer and distribution network, is 1,258 crore in second quarter against 923 crore last year. Growth in this segment is 36%. B2C sale, distribution network sale, has contributed 55% in the second quarter as against 47% in the previous year, same period. EPC sale, other than cable, is 80 crore against 113 crore last year. Out of total sales of EPC, EHV EPC sale is 39 crore against 44 crore in the same quarter last year. Stainless steel wire sale in Q2 is rupees 59 crore against 58 crore last year. Now, I will give a summary of first half, that means April to September. Net sales in H1 in this financial year is 4,340 crore against 3,725 crore last year. The growth in net sales is 16.5%. EBITDA is 469.93 crore against 398 crore. Growth is 18% in EBITDA. EBITDA/net sales margin is 10.83% as against 10.69% in the same period previous year. Profit after tax in H1 financial year 2024-25 is rupees 305 crore against rupees 261.59 crore. Growth in PAT is 16.62%. PAT/net sales margin in six months is 7.03% versus 7.02%. ये पढ़ना है ना
जी।
डोमेस्टिक इंस्टीट्यूशनल केबल सेल ग्रोथ इज 19% इन फर्स्ट सिक्स मंथ एट 1189 करोड़। EHV सेल इज 152 करोड़ अगेंस्ट 218 करोड़ लास्ट ईयर। capacity of extra high voltage cable has been used for producing HT power cables. Export sales is 474 crore. So the total institutional sale contribution in H1 is 39% against 44% in the same period previous year. Sales through dealer network is 2,343 crore. Against 1,765 crore, growth is approximately 33% against through dealer network, that is B2C sales. The total acting working dealers of the company as on 30th September was approximately 2,038. B2C sale has contributed 54% in H1 as against 47% in the same period last year. Volume increase in the cable division on the basis of production for consumption of metals in H1 is against as compared to previous year same period is around 14%. Pending order as on 13th October 2024 is rupees 3,847 crore. Out of which EPC is 603 crore, extra high voltage cable 301 crore. We are L1 in orders of 186 crore of Tata Power 220 kV cables, which is yet to be officially come. Domestic cable orders is 2,368 crore and export orders pending are 575 crore. External rating. CARE has upgraded company's long-term rating as AA+. Long-term rating from India Rating and Research Private Limited and ICRA is AA. Short-term rating from India Ratings, ICRA and CARE is A1+. Book value. The book value for per equity share of the company is rupees 382.96 against 348.87 on March 31st, 2024. The total borrowings in this at the moment is 314 crore, channel finance 109 crore, cash and bank balance is 245 crore, as against total borrowings of 134 crore as on 31st March 24. Acceptance of creditors as on 30th September 24 is 357 crore as against 506 crore in March 24. So now the net debt is rupees 426 crore as on 30th September 24. During H1 24-25, finance cost was 27.49 crore. Against rupees 16.47 crore in the previous year same period. So the percentage of financial charges on net sales has increased in this period to 0.63% from 0.44% in the last year. Interest income from bank deposits / others in H1 is 13.32 crore, which is included in the other income. It was rupees 9.83 crore in the previous year, same period. The future outlook of the company. During H1 of FY24-25, company has incurred a capital expenditure of rupees, capital expenditure payment of approximately 312 crore, in out of which Sanand rupees 169 crore, Chinchpada in Silvassa rupees 48 crore, Bhiwadi 25 crore, Patredi 38 crore, and other plants and locations rupees 32 crore. Brownfield capex at Chinchpada and Patredi to add further capacities of wire and power cable has been completed in H1 and fully commissioned. After the completion of brownfield capex, capacity utilized during H1 24-25 approximately 78% in the cable division, 71% in the house wire division and 93% in the stainless steel wire division. This brownfield capex will enable us to grow by 16-17% in this financial year. Apart from the brownfield capex, in FY24-25, company has planned a total capex of rupees 900 to 1000 crore on greenfield expansion at Sanand for expansion for LT, HT and EHV cables in Gujarat, commercial production for which will commence by first quarter of FY25-26. We started the construction in FY23-24. Further, we will spend another 600 crore in the next financial years to complete the project to maintain a CAGR of 15-16% per annum as against achieved CAGR of 14-15% during the last 15 years. So this is a brief summary. Thank you very much, and now you can come with any questions you may have, and we'll be pleased to answer it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mr. Rahul Agarwal from Ikigai Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, very good afternoon, Anilji and Rajivji. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, first question was on the QIP fundraise. Based on, you know, whatever cash flow projections we understand of the business and based on, you know, your guidance for fiscal 25-26, my sense was 400 to 500 crore debt would have been suffice to incur, you know, all the capex given the internal accrual improvement for the business. And so could you explain, sir, you know, what is the rationale and any change in the capex plan? Where do you, you know, plan to invest this money?
Actually, after the brownfield capex, where we had already invested 250 crore plus, and the additional expenditure on the Sanand project, wherein the 1800 crore to 1900 crore will be required to complete the full project by next financial year. So considering in mind, then while going for the term loan, if we take as a 600 crore, which we have already sanctioned from the bank also, there will be another requirement for working capital loan also for the next financial year. Because if we spend all our cash accruals only for capex, then we need the further amount for working capital as well. So that's why we thought that without having the further borrowing or additional borrowing, we should go ahead with this project if we raise some funds from the market. So that was discussed in the board actually.
Okay, get it. So this, you know, obviously my sense is working capital is, you know, you've done a great job over years on the working capital side. So we're still, you know, trying to get it down further. My sense is this 2000 crore obviously also have a growth angle to it. Any sense, could you like to give some direction in terms of where most of this capital will get used for?
As we said, that we have for the current year, we have the plan for Sanand itself is close to 900 to... Hello? Yes, Rahulji.
Sir, you were answering the question for where will the growth capex be used for. That is where the line got disconnected.
Yeah, so this capex will be fully... So this fund will be fully utilized for the Sanand project mainly. So that we will be having sufficient internal accrual to fund the additional working capital requirement for the 26-27 and 25-26.
Okay, fine, sir. Second question was on the quarter itself. Seems like the institutional sales and exports both have been weaker, while all the growth was driven by dealer sales, which is the channel sales. Could you help understand this better, what exactly happened? My sense is...
You see, earlier also we have explained that it does not matter to us whether export is increasing, retail is increasing, EHV is increasing. Matter to us is how we are utilizing the capacity. So if the retail is pushing more in this quarter, so we have sold there. So ultimately, we need to utilize the capacity. So accordingly, our sale has already improved 17%. Little bit impact on the EBITDA margin, mainly because of, as we were earlier explaining, that if the copper or aluminium prices get fluctuated, so in one particular quarter, it gets increased or decreased, which will be adjusted in the another subsequent quarter. So if you compare the last quarter, wherein the raw material consumption was lesser by close to 1%, so same get adjusted in the same this financial year. So once it is averaged out, if you compare the 6 month result, it is already averaged out. So there is no impact on 6 month or the full year balance sheet.
So what it means is the margin which is, you know,
so for the full year, as Anilji has already guided, that our 17% growth will be there, dependent, because we have the capacity to maintain that kind of growth. And EBITDA margin will also be there, as we have earlier guided, 10.5 to 11%.
We have already in H1, in 6 months, our EBITDA margin is 10.88%. If we look at the total EBITDA margin of April to September.
Got it, sir. And lastly, one clarification on the volume growth for cable and wires. My sense is last quarter we did 18%. You said first half we did 14%. The 2Q volume growth looks lower. Any reasons for that, please?
Because some of the materials could not be dispatched, and in exports and as well as the EHV. So the finished goods inventory has increased. So it led to little lesser sale, and that's why it is showing lesser metal consumption in the sale.
But Rahulji, it will always be happening actually in quarter to quarter. As I said, that on an average basis, we will be growing at a 17% CAGR. So quarter to quarter may be up or down, but for full year basis or half yearly or 9 month basis, on the basis of the accumulated sale, we will be growing at a 17% CAGR.
Perfect, sir. I understand that. Thank you so much for answering the questions. I'll get back in the queue, sir.
Thank you. Yep. The next question is from the line of Nikunj Gala from Sundaram AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for giving the opportunity. So just on the QIP front, when we announced this greenfield capex, and at that point of time, the requirement was 2,000 crore. Even at that point of time, we were envisaging, the incremental working capital requirement of the 600 crore for the next 2 years. Considering the cash flow which we will be generating, still we will be, having that kind of a surplus, then what's the need to raise 2,000 crore at this point of time? Because the same situation was there 1 year ago when we announced this greenfield capex also, right?
At that time, the brownfield capex was not there. To maintain the current year capacity addition and to maintain the sale growth of 17% in the current financial year, we need to go with the brownfield capex, where we had already invested more than 250 crore rupees last year and in the current first half. So that money has also gone. So that was not earlier planned. Earlier was the planning only for the greenfield capex.
Right.
And now, because of the expenditure going on, and if earlier we were having the debt-free company, so now if we are going ahead with the same plan, then the debt will be there for term loan at least for 600 crore. And right, additional working capital loan for next financial year and in financial year 26-27 will also be there. So when the term loan and the working capital loan will be there, then the cash accrual will not be available for the future capex, which is beyond 26-27.
Okay, so out of this 2,000 crore, there will be additional capex requirement for which we are raising this 2,000 crore? Like apart from the Sanand, is there a further plan?
Further, every year we need to spend around 500 to 700 crore rupees in future so that
we can maintain
the growth, na? Because if we need to maintain a growth of 17% plus, we need to have the capacity in place well in advance, because it takes almost 2 years before, because we started this project last year and it will take 2 full years to execute or to reach at a level of sale.
Okay, sure. And just one clarification on the TV interview which MD gave in the morning. Is there a the comment which was made that after a few months we will be looking for buyback of the shares? So that point was not clear.
No. Actually, the anchor was asking that will you be buying of the shares, or will you increase your promoters holding by acquiring shares from the market. I said we will after a few months we will look at it. That was the question was different, so we just said that we'll look at it, that's all.
Okay, because we are raising money and then again buying back shares,
no.
That doesn't reconcile.
No, buyback is not
the company. There is no question of buying back the share. They were saying that will you increase the promoter holding?
Sure.
That was the question, yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the clarification. Yeah. All the best.
Yeah. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Arora from Axis Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Just moving away from this QIP thing to the business side, can you talk about how's the demand, overall demand right now, given that you have such high visibility, you're putting greenfield also, and I think you also talked about that we want to increase even the brownfield capex where that QIP comes into play. So has anything again materially changed? I mean, whatever the growth the industry is seeing is pretty strong. That's what the sense you gave it last quarter in the con call as well. But has materially something changing where you're seeing some more levers coming in, and that's the reason suddenly it's upsizing the capex? Just your take on that.
Capex we are doing, which we have already planned for it.
Mm-hmm.
Only change in, instead of taking the debt, now we will not be taking the debt.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only difference.
Mm-hmm.
So that whatever capacity will be in place by 26, so in 26-27, when the full capacity will be available to sell, the working capital will be required. So if we have already taken the loan and we have adjusted our cash accrual to the capex, then the working capital loan will also be there at that time. So we thought that instead of taking the loan and addition of the loan in future, if we go with this kind of fundraising, so then the debt will not be there in the books. So interest cost will also be not there in the books, as it was not in the last year balance sheet. So that was the main. So when the cash accrual will be available, we can start invested in the new plant, which will be available capacity for 27-28 onward. Because this plant will be generating close to 5,000 crore capacity, which will be utilized only by 26-27 or 27-28 max. So the 17-18% growth rate is there and the market is available for that. Our order book position is evidence for that. The domestic cable power book is already 2,368 crore,
mm-hmm.
and export order is 575 crore,
mm-hmm.
and the retail is increasing.
Mm-hmm.
So if the retail is also increasing and the domestic demand institution side is also, order book is strong, only we are lacking behind with the capacity actually.
So that's what my question was, that can you elaborate a little bit more quantitatively, let's say the end market, obviously you said 17% is something we are looking on a growth side, but sector-wise, because there is a thought process that after the election the things have really slowed down, whether it's the railways, whether it's the other retail market. So I just, we wanted your take, how you are looking at different pockets of the market, number one, which you always talk about. So if you can talk in a little detail, segment, sector-wise, if you are seeing any slowdown or how you're seeing the market. And second, I think, what is your guardrail in terms of net debt to equity, where you are more comfortable as a promoter? Because, the point is not that you are raising fund is an issue. The point is... the surprise element, because we were thinking that you will not eventually, you know, the cash flow will be there and not requirement. So if you can throw some light, what is, as a promoter, as a company, we are comfortable with that. So as an analyst, we can assume that, you know, if you do beyond that much capex, eventually that has to come from the promoter doing QIP and all. So just your take on the net debt to equity
yeah.
side, your guardrails.
Before answering by Anilji for the market demand, I will clarify that we want to run a debt-free company, as we have earlier spoken for that also.
Got it.
So the same guidance for future also, because we want to run the debt-free company, so that's why this fundraising option came into the picture. Now for the demand side, Anilji will update.
See, from demand side, the solar renewable energy is having substantial demand, solar and wind both. Secondly, now the transmission sector also has a substantial demand coming up with the, I think, Government of India had announced almost 9 lakh crore worth of transmission evacuation plan for next 6 years. So those projects are coming up. Then other sectors, like lot of thermal power projects pump storage projects are there for which the cable demand is there. A lot of highways tunneling and railways tunneling projects are there. Data centers are very strong. So demand scenario is strong, and that is the reason that every company is showing good growth in the sales.
Got it. It's clear. Thank you very much. I'll come back in the queue. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Achal Lohare from Nuvama Institutional Equities.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, two questions. One is, any particular reason for the EHV weakness? Is it entirely for the exports, or how do we look at this particular sub-segment in terms of FY25 and then FY27 onwards, given the new capacity?
See, sometimes, this is a segment which is normally only the government utilities in the transmission sector they buy. So the little bit of variation in the demand, in the tender process, in the clearances at site for the execution are always there. Order book is there, but projects are not executable because of the ROW issues and non-clearances. Overall, in the full year period, it will improve. But sometimes, even 2 years back also, we saw the similar situation. This year also, we are seeing similar situations. But overall period, it will improve.
Got it. And with respect to your comments on various sectors, right, renewable, wind, transmission, etc., is it possible to get a sense in terms of, our mix, KES mix in terms of these sectors, possible to have that kind of a split at this point in time?
No, at this moment it is not possible, but we can work it out tentatively, but this is very difficult to extract this so much of data because we are selling to dealers, EPC contractors, and sometimes we are not recording it in our system that for which sector this cable is going.
Understood. And just one more question, in terms of margins, do they vary basis, whether the sale is B2G, B2B or distributor through?
See, margins are sometimes 1% here and there. I think margins are similar in nature.
Okay. Even for
the full year margin, you will see the similar kind of thing which were the last year. You will not see any surprise for that actually.
Our margins are as per guidance in the full 6 months of the April to September, first half.
No, I was not asking for that, sir. I was just trying to understand in terms of, you know, whether the margins vary, whether it is domestic or export or within domestic, whether it is B2G, B2B or distributor sale.
Little bit 0.5% margin here and there in export and dealer distributor versus the domestic institution.
Got it. And just one last question, if I may, with respect to working capital, you know, how do you see that evolving for next couple of quarters? Would this normalize immediately or it will take couple of quarters to normalize?
Earlier we have guided that our receivable will go down. So last year our receivable was 2.25 months. Before that it was 2.4 months. So in this financial year it will come down to 2.1 months. Inventory will be close to 2.25 months. In this first half, the inventory is little bit higher, mainly because of the capacity increase. So the holding will also be increased for that period actually. But it will be by the third quarter, it will be again for 2.25 months, which is right now is 2.4 months.
Got it. Thank you. I'll fall back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Manoj Gori from Equirus Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, a couple of questions in the opening remarks. Anil ji highlighted like we used EHV capacity for HT. Can we throw some light, like because if you look at EHV margins would be relatively better versus HT. So what made us take this decision to actually make more HT than EHV? Was it lower demand for EHV or anything in specific?
I have already mentioned that it is inconsistency in execution of the orders because of the ROW issues and non-clearances from the utilities for executing the contract. That is why the EHV sale has been impacted. It will normalize. It is a pattern of this kind of work because sometimes road, because of the heavy rains, road cutting permissions were not there anywhere in the country. So how do you execute a project? We can't manufacture and dump the cable at site. So these are the issues. On a full year basis, it will normalize. So during when you are not manufacturing an EHV cable on a CCB line, we have to utilize that capacity to produce similar identical product for which it is capable of. Correct. These capacities are always alternate. They can be used for any type of cable.
Right.
Last year in the second quarter we sold high tension power cable is 271 crore. In the current quarter it went 431, mainly because of we utilized that capacity of EHV. With regard to the differential margin, so that is there for 4 to 5% margin differential is there. But on a 70-80 crore additional or 100 crore additional sale for HT, it may be 3-4 crore margin, that's it. But it will not be more.
Correct, sir. Thank you and repetition of the answer. So my second question would be on the fundraising part. Sorry to follow up.
Oh, sure.
If we look at the working capital requirement, probably, as you rightly highlighted, it would be close to around 600 crores. Even if we adjust that, we should be doing cash flow from operations of close to around 1200 to 1300 crores during FY25 and 26. And we are raising, we are planning to raise somewhere around 2000 crores. Any other plans other than this greenfield and brownfield capacity additions that we are looking at currently?
See, next year our cash outflow for the Sanand project itself is 600 crore. And our cash profit is practically close to 700 to 750 crore rupees. So there is no room for working capital, the additional working capital requirement. So that's why once we have assessed now, because now our project is almost in the halfway for completion, and within 7 to 8 months we will be start selling from there. So then we required additional working capital also.
Right, right. Understood. And sir, lastly, just in continuation with the previous questions.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah,
may I request you to rejoin?
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Pulkit Patni from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Sir, just one question. Historically, you've said that you want to over time reduce the EPC business, and it's been very volatile. So could you give a sense of how should we be looking at our EPC business going forward, because the revenue fluctuations happen to be pretty wide in that particular segment?
In EPC, we have already reducing the sale quarter in the current year. Our EPC will not be more than 5-6% sale.
We have already substantially cut down the EPC business.
No, sir, I understood that, but because there's a lot of quarterly volatility, so just wanted to understand that, like,
EPC, the quarterly volatility is there because of the site situation, you know, for heavy rains were there and there was no ROW permissions anywhere, wherever the projects are going on. So, and these are all projects are executed in the open areas. Because of distribution strengthening projects. So that is why the sale has also gone down. And we are not taking, we have to take one order in a year to maintain a section of staff. Otherwise, the, you know, old outstandings, also we have to maintain the projects which we have done in the past as a warranty, and also recover the payments from the old projects. So we have to maintain a certain amount of staff, and to keep them engaged, we just take one order in a year.
Sure, normally, sir. Close to 250 to 300 crore will be the sale per a year from the EPC division, and slowly, slowly it will get away. Once the, you see, our collection has already reduced. Earlier it was 340 crore to be there, so now it has already reduced less than 250 crore or debtor level from EPC. So slowly, slowly the business is going down and the debtor, and the debtor level is also going.
Okay, this is useful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keyur Pandya from ICICI Prudential Life Insurance Co. Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Two questions. First, on the capacity side, so this probably 1,000 crore potential revenue capacity in Bhiwadi would help us grow in, say, FY25. So what will drive, do we have enough capacity to grow in FY26? That is first question. And second question, from the balance sheet perspective, you mentioned that you would want to keep your balance sheet debt-free. If I just take ballpark 15-16% kind of growth, say, for next 2-3 years, annually 1500 to 1700 crore kind of incremental sales would be required, and that will require incremental capex plus working capital of around 800-900 crore, considering capex plus working capital. So now, is it fair that I mean, if the annual requirement of capital is 800-900 crore, till that time you won't raise further funds going ahead also? Basically, when we are OCF or operating cash flow meets your capex plus working capital requirement, there won't be any fundraise?
No, this fundraise we have already explained that considering in mind to be a debt-free company, so out of the total fundraise, we will spend major amount only on the Sanand project. With respect to the growth of 17% plus growth, we have the capacity for current year as well as we have the capacity for the next financial year. By the time the next financial year, the Sanand project will be fully operational. So part growth will be coming from the Sanand, and part growth will be coming from the balance capacity for the current financial year.
Just clarification. So next year's growth, part of it depends on the say commissioning of the SAN plant. Correct?
Irrespective of anything, we will be growing at 17% plus. Because that kind of capacity we have already created in our existing divisions.
Okay.
For the Sanand project, for your consumption, we have taken only additional growth of 900 crore rupees. But that's it. From the whole project for the next financial year. Rest will be coming from the existing capacity, which we have already implemented. So that's why we are quite confident that we will be growing 17% plus for next financial year also.
Noted. Okay. I will get back in with you. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Kale from Invesco. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Just one clarification I had. So you talked about like project capex for FY25-26 in Sanand. Can you just help us understand what is the total capex, right? At a company level, what is the total capex that you're planning for this year and next year, including maintenance capex that you're
This year will be, total capex will be close to 1100 crore plus. And next year, the total capex will be 600 to 700 crore, including the maintenance capex.
Okay. And just for my understanding, steady state, I mean, how should we look at maintenance capex? Is it like as a percentage of sales, typically how much?
So it is maintenance capex is close to 50 crore rupees in our existing locations, not more than that.
Okay. Understood. Thank you. That was my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Kaparia from Elara Capital. And before we just go to the next question, just to inform all the participants in this conference, to just please limit your question to one per participant. Yeah. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a very strong results again. Wanted to clarify the... On the Sanand plant, we are spending 900 crores and that will only be for the cables manufacturing. No wires would be manufactured, right? And secondly, within cables, what proportion would be EHV, LT and HT? Could you give us some color on that, sir?
See, EHV and HT have similar plant and machinery and they are always replaceable in terms of capacities. So... And we have not, for any, segment of the region, we have never kept any our capacity idle. So, secondly, LT cable, I think later on we can give you you can explain.
Yeah, for the Sanand, the total capacity will be close to 5,000 crore. Out of that, close to 1,200 to 1,300 crore belonging to the extra high voltage. Mm-hmm. Close to 1500 crore belonging to the high tension power cable and balance will be for low tension power cable.
And HT and EHV is fungible, so that will be 2700 crore. If, let's say, if you want to do completely HT or completely EHV on demand.
No, it's only one way around.
Okay.
From HT, we cannot make EHV, yes. But from EHV, we can make HT.
Acha, okay.
So basically EHV will be limiting to 1200 to 1300 crore, but HT may be 1500 crore to 3000 crore.
Understood. Fair enough, sir. Thank you and wishing you all the best.
Thank you, Ashish.
Yeah. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srinidhi Karlekar from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, Srinidhi. Hello?
Sir, the participant has left the queue. I'll just reconnect. Yeah. May I request Rohit from Invest Analytics Advisor LLP to go ahead?
Hello?
Hello? Yes.
Or year-on-year margin has been impacted. Could you please provide some specific reason for this? Or are we seeing increasing?
The specific reason is because of the volatility of the metal prices, raw material consumption increased by half to 1%, which was less in the last quarter. So because of that, if it is averaged out, then it is common. So for 6 months, there is no impact. For quarter to quarter, it is impacted.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arshia Khosla from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, I just wanted to understand on the export side. So in the previous quarter, our export declined because of some logistical issues at the customer end. So if you could just highlight something for this quarter, have they been resolved or...
Export, earlier we have guided to maintain for 12-13% for the full year level. Already we are having 11% export contribution in the first half. So we will be maintaining 12-13% depending on the order we are having. And it does not impact our overall sale whether export is higher or retail is higher or the domestic institution is higher. As long as we are growing overall 17% plus, so we are utilizing our capacity.
Okay, thank you. And sir, I just wanted your order book bifurcation.
Pardon? You want the pending order?
The order book bifurcation, the pending order book.
Yeah, so pending order is EPC division order book is 603 crore rupees. Extra high voltage power cable order book is 300 crore. And cable from domestic institution order book is 2,368 crore. And export cable order is 575 crore. So put together 3,847 crore, and apart from this, we are having L1 in 186 crore order for extra high voltage power cable. So order book is very strong.
Yeah, can you family L1 number?
I'm sorry to interrupt, ma'am. Can you please rejoin the queue?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Khale from Invesco. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Just one follow-up. So, yeah, since you're looking at the next phase of growth and you're looking at the QIP fundraise beyond FY27, FY28, just wanted to understand that this next phase that you're kind of envisaging, would it be more like a greenfield or would it be more of a greenfield or is it a brownfield wherein you have Sanand, space in Sanand and it will be kind of expansion there?
It will be both actually, because once this plant will be operational, then automatically there is a lot of scope to improve the capacity over there by balancing of equipment. That is our past experience, so we will do that. And apart from this, we will go ahead with the future capex for the greenfield also. We have already bought land in Baroda, which we are in the process to acquiring, and within 6 to 8 months time, we will be having a sufficient land for the further growth.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Arora from Access Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Sorry, sir, just one follow-up. As you stated that we always want to be now a debt-free company, the cycle of capex will continue. So I just wanted to know your thoughts that if your capex, given the first round will happen now, the brownfield and the greenfield both, and eventually we keep spending 400 to 500 crores until we decide after 3-4 years another greenfield. So now when you've done your maths, how one should look these debt-free argument? Because when you put your new capex, let's say a greenfield comes after 2 years where you decide, to put another one. Now we are confident that this will remain as a debt-free, or that time also eventually the working capital will always remain, right? That is the nature of the business. And that time also you will say that, okay, suddenly we didn't envisage the working capital that time, but now the working capital also needs to be done. So this argument which you're giving of debt-free, what we wanted to know, this is something even a new greenfield announced after 2 years or 3 years that we are sticking to.
Sir, we have calculated the projections for next 5 to 7 years. Accordingly, we have taken this decision. So we will not require for any further amount either from the debt or from the fundraising for the future growth of 17% plus.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much for your.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Jain from Baroda BNP Paribas MF. Please go ahead.
Yeah, partly has been answered in previous question of Nathan. Just one clarification means in terms of if I look at the debt raising part, right? FY24, we have done somewhere around 800 crore of free cash flow. So just wanted to understand the thought process that even, you know, at a 17% growth, and even if we don't take any equity raise now, whatever the debt we required in FY25 or FY26, that can be paid off by FY27, right? Because of the cash flow generation ability.
So then the growth will be sacrificed, no? If we take the debt and we use the cash accrual for the debt repayment, then from 27-28 onward, from where we will invest?
At that point of time, we can raise at that point of time. That is the only point which I'm trying to understand.
So if we would like to defer that, so that we can defer, then that will be along with the risk attached, na, for the interest and repayment also, na. Because if 608 crore for term loan and the 608 crore for working capital, so the interest cost will be there, the repayment of term loan will be there. So it will impact the future investment, na.
So currently we have a net debt of 6970 odd crores kind of thing if I remove the acceptance, right?
Yes, so you see, acceptances is basically the interest bearing, because we bought from Hindalco, Vedanta or anywhere else, it has to be through the letter of credit. Letter of credit is bearing the interest. So then the interest cost will be there.
Okay, no, so I understand.
If we are buying through the cash, so then also there will not be the any interest cost, no?
No, that I understood. That will always be there whether you raise the fund or don't raise the fund. The acceptance will bear the interest. That will be the part and parcel of the business, right? You cannot
acceptances in last 2 years, in last 2 to 3 years, three, four years before, acceptances was 900 crore. Hmm. It has reduced substantially. Only in the current year, it has again increased little bit. But otherwise, acceptances were very less to only 200 crore rupees only for import. For the domestic purchase, we were using the cash because we were having the cash in our books.
So as a management, when you take a debt, you include the acceptance also. That acceptance
yes.
also
so
be
the
zero.
426 crore debt, that is a net debt.
Okay.
Including fine. Acceptance. In my presentation also, we have shown those numbers.
Okay. Thanks. Fine.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keyur Pandya from ICICI Prudential Life Insurance Co. Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity again. Sorry to harping again on the fundraise. The question is being asked because the promoter holding is already below 40%. So the thought is that the working capital requirement that you mentioned for the incremental 5,000 crore of sales, however, that will be gradual. So every year, probably incremental 250 to 300 crore kind of working capital requirement would be there based on the 15-17% growth number. That is not one-time requirement, it will come gradually, whereas the fundraise would be one-time front-loaded, and that would impact the basically ROC and balance sheet. So just wanted to understand, just like previous participants suggested, can we do it at the time when it is actually required? That is first. And second, just on the export side, are we seeing any structural challenge since export is slow for you as well as for other players for last few months? So just more color on the export. Thanks.
No, I think there is no structural problem in the exports. So, it is taking time to pick up, but I don't see any problem going forward in the growth of exports.
Sir, with respect to fundraise, we have already explained the situation, why we want to raise the fund so that we will be having the capex funded through this fundraise, and whatever cash accrual will be there will be available for the working capital for next financial year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amber Singhania from Nippon India AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for taking my question. Just one clarification I am looking for. You mentioned roughly around 2,000 crore kind of capex in Sanand plant, which will give you 5,000 crore kind of revenues. That works out to be around 2.5 times as it turns. Just wanted to understand, isn't it too low compared to what we are already enjoying or what we are already delivering, as well as what we are seeing in the other industry players are achieving? Isn't it too low on that?
Well, it is mainly because of the extra high voltage major capacity we are going to add over there, wherein heavy structure or building, heavy machines and heavy testing equipment and heavy cranes are there. So only in extra high voltage power cable, the asset turn is less than 1:2. But otherwise, normally it is practically 1:3.5 nowadays.
Because nowadays, you know, the cost of, you know, creating assets as compared to what we have previously created has substantially changed. You know, over last whatever factories we built up 5 years back, now, you know, the construction cost has doubled, plant and machinery has almost gone up, almost doubled. So but after once the factory is built, there are always scope to improve the production and productivity by you know, adding some balancing machines. But that happens only once the you know production starts.
Okay. Because you are mentioning that even after that 500 to 700 crore kind of run rate will continue. What I understand is current capacity is sufficient for 25 and 26. The Sanand capacity will suffice you for 27-28. Despite that, we will be doing another 500 each year on 27 and 28 for the capex. So just wanted to understand, is the asking rate going forward apart from Sanand factory as well?
Apart from Sanand factory, whatever we will spend for the new facility, which will take another 2 years to implement, because we need to spend 2 years before, then only we will have the capacity in place after 2 years. Na? So whatever we will spend in 26-27 and 27-28, the capacity will be available in 28-29. So that's okay. Why we always prepare a plan for the next five financial year. That's how we are doing a 17% kind of growth for each 5 years.
Got it. And sir, I know it is slightly premature, but can you also highlight the new capacity which we are planning after Sanand plant? That would be in the line of EHV side only, or it will be?
No, it will be for low voltage and medium voltage. It will not be EHV. So there the cost of the project will not be that high that is there in Sanand.
Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sukant Garg from Equable Research Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi. So most of my questions have been already answered. I just wanted to know one thing, that which are the major sectors that we are currently serving, and you know, if not the customers, exactly which sector is going to be you know, the major focus in the next quarter or the coming quarters?
See, the focus sector will be you know, energy sectors, especially solar, wind, or other power generation sectors, transmission and distribution sector in the power, and data centers. But this is just tentative. Focus. Our focus remains on every sector, wherever the demand is there, wherever, because we have channel partners, we have sales team everywhere. So whatever opportunities are there, all opportunities are tapped. It is not a question of that we just focus on, but because we are manufacturing cables for all sectors. But the focus, the major demand drivers will be solar, wind, or energy sector basically.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the last question that will be from the line of Vaibhav Jain from an independent investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, yes, sir.
Yeah, hi, sir. Just new to analyzing your company and the business, so I just wanted some clarification on channel finance and acceptances. You know, what kind of debt is this? What kind of cost of debt and what are
the... So in the channel finance, the cost is borne by the dealer itself and we are giving them the cash discounts. In the case of acceptances, the interest rate is close to 7 to 8% per annum.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Most of my other questions have been answered.
Thank you.
As that was the last question, I'll now hand over the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So, thank you very much for having interaction with us on this conference call. If you still have any further questions, you can reach out to us. Thank you very much and look forward to your working together. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.